We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I mean, he was cooking. The Watkins play, obviously, that's what they signed him for. Watkins, a very similar redemption arc to MVS, probably a little bit more pronounced.
It's February 2020, Chiefs versus 49ers in the Super Bowl. This is Remember That Game, the podcast about sporting events that take you on a journey and maybe chart the path of the zeitgeist. I'm your host, Thomas Emmerich, and my guest is Sumer Sports VP and co-host of the Sumer Sports Show, Eric Eager. Eric, now in the three-time guest club, as the Reed Mahomes partnership goes for its own trilogy in KC. Eric, how different does it feel this time just in packing your bags for Vegas compared to when you saw these teams down in Miami, 4 years ago?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I went to the conference championship game. One of my good friends now, the co-host that I host the Red, Gold, and Bold podcast with, Seren Petro. I stayed in his house. I went to the AFC championship game. The next day, we were walking around trying to find a newspaper because this had been the first time the Chiefs had gone to a Super Bowl in 50 years. You're sitting in a diner together. It was a crazy time, right? It was a crazy time. And now I was listening to his radio show on Monday. And it's like, it's old hat. This is the fourth time in 5 years that they've made the Super Bowl. This is now the third time I'm going to get to go to the Super Bowl and cover the game. Obviously they went, the pandemic year, none of us were really able to go. And it's funny because I covered another Super Bowl, the Bengals Rams, where it felt different covering a Super Bowl without them in it. And yet this whole season, I had mentally prepared myself, given how, kind of inauspicious their start had been, the middle of the year had been. And now to see them back in the Super Bowl, it feels part inevitable and then also feels surprising. So I'm really excited, obviously, for this week. It feels crazy that the Chiefs get to host a playoff game in the Raiders stadium before the Raiders get to. All this kind of thing, all this stuff happens, and it's just a funny league.
Wild how the league is, and makes it even more fun to analyze when you dive into the statistical modeling, data science a bit. I invite folks to order Dr. Eager's book, Football Analytics with Python and R, Learning Data Science through the Lens of Sports. It's like if you want to learn piano, a good way to start is by learning songs you like. I figure listeners might dig this entryway to data science. The Niners with a big EPA per play advantage versus KC on defense in 2019. And this has flipped from D now to O, where the Chiefs are middling in 2023-2024 season here. Niners again represented near the top of the league in expected points added per snap on both sides of the ball. Which imbalance do you prefer for Kansas City? And has your opinion or even the game itself changed over the years in a way that adjusts how you view it?
Having seen the Mahomes era back when their defense wasn't very good, and it kind of goes all the way even to 2021 where they start the season 3-4. Their defense had gotten better down the stretch, but for the most part, you couldn't really rely on them. They gave up 4 touchdowns to Gabe Davis in the playoff game to the Bills. They gave up the second half lead, a 21-3 advantage to Cincinnati. And now where you can trust this defense to hold the second half lead. I mean, they haven't given up more than 7 points in the second half of a game since the Green Bay game 2 months ago, really. And because I can always trust Mahomes to do above and beyond his call of duty in big games. I could almost never trust, you know, in 2018, the Chiefs defense to get it one stop against Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game when they really needed to make the Super Bowl. I was on the edge of my seat praying that a defense with Anthony Hitchens and Damien Wilson and Kendall Fuller playing out of position at free safety, Rashad Breeland at corner, could get us the stops they needed to come from behind and beat the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. Like, I'm much more comfortable with this difference now, which is the defense can stop teams and the defense can make in-game adjustments and is impervious, has depth, right? Willie Gay doesn't play on Sunday. You know, Drew Tranquil plays in his stead, plays really good football. Brian Cook missed, you know, the second half of the season. Mike Edwards, who has Super Bowl experience against the Chiefs, is now in his stead a veteran safety. You know, Mike Pinnell was on the 2019 Super Bowl team. He's back replacing Derek Nnadi, who's been on IR, you know, for a couple weeks now. I'm much more comfortable with this outfit. The hard part is, of course, is back when it was Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, when they got the ball back in the second half of games, I knew they were going to score. Now, I'm not as sure about it, but I'm also not doing the mental math in my head where, you know, Justin Herbert gets the ball back or Jimmy Garoppolo gets the ball back. And I got to think about, okay, the Chiefs got a volley here and score. I now know that there's a really good chance they can get a stop. And it's a much, much different, it's more comforting view to have the best quarterback and one of the best defenses on your favorite team.
Chiefs 3-and-out to start, keyed by a batted pass from Nick Bosa. Then Debo immediately takes an end around into KC territory. Mahomes and Kelce answer with the two longest completions of the following drive at 7-3 end of first quarter. And yes, this is the 2019 season. While a high majority of these starting lineups have changed, and you detailed a lot of defensive changes that have created a different environment for the Chiefs, some of the straws that really stir the drink are still around. What carries over as relevant for you?
Well, Kelce is the key one. And I think, you know, we've gotten to see that Kelce is healthy now. Early in the season, he had the bone bruise before the Detroit game, comes back in the Jacksonville game, kind of is never healthy all year, still almost puts up 1,000 yards with one fewer game. But having that week off in week 18 against the Chargers really has benefited him. He looks more spry. He looks healthier than he has been all season. That's been the carryover. You know, you've gotten a season out of Rashee Rice that, especially when you look at how it's distributed, Juju last season, you know, was very good early, petered off late. Rashee Rice has been kind of the opposite, where he was getting going early and he's done really well. They don't, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has not been the deep threat that they signed him to be, but he's made big plays in the playoffs. Like, those two things, like, they've been able to rebuild Tyreek Hill in the aggregate a little bit better last year than this year. And, you know, the one thing that they have now that they didn't have in 2019 is they have a running back that's kind of a bona fide player. Back in, you know, 18 and 19, Damien Williams was kind of an off-the-bench player when Kareem Hunt left the team because of his off-the-field issues. And he was a great playoff player. But now they have a bona fide running back that is one of their star players. And he's, you know, carried that offense in a situation that has not been, you know, they since Kareem Hunt, he's been the best running back that they've ever had. And, you know, it was kind of out of nowhere as a seventh round pick out of Rutgers.
Second quarter starts with a bad pick by Garoppolo and then a first play strike to Sammy F. Watkins. Chiefs take a 10-3 lead. What has gone, do you think, right or wrong in a way that, as you mentioned, trying to recreate the pass offense?
Yeah, I mean, when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, Sammy Watkins, 3 years at $48 million is fine. Like, you can overpay for that. You know, in a lot of ways, Frank Clark, they spent the draft picks on him, the $100 million contract. And so that ends up being things that you can overcome. When Patrick is making 17% of the salary cap, the first quarterback ever in league history to win a Super Bowl making more than 14%, you can't make those errors. Now, everybody's going to compare Marquez Valdes-Scantling to Sammy Watkins, but MBS is making on average 10 to 11 million. That's less even without adjusting for the growth of the cap. So they've made even lower probability gambles than they had to in the past because Patrick was starting out back then. Now, Patrick's a lot better than he was when they went out and got Watkins, when they went out and signed, you know, the players that they signed, but, you know, they've been able to, you know, they're not as good at but they don't have the resources. And so they've trusted Mahomes to overcome and to elevate the play of those around him. And for the last 2 years without Tyreek Hill, he's done that. And then they've used the resources that Tyreek Hill afforded them in the trade to go build the places on the roster that Patrick Mahomes can't influence, which is pass rush with George Karlaftis, Chris Jones, keeping him around for another year. They probably would have had to trade Jones had they not traded Hill. Keeping Chris Jones, Karlaftis in the draft for that one of those first round picks. And then, of course, in the secondary where, you know, Snead was already there, but you were able to go out and get Justin Reed. You were able to go out and get Mike Edwards. You were able to use some picks to go up and get Trent McDuffie, who's a superstar, first team all pro corner. You're able to build that defense. And now the part of the game that Patrick Mahomes is powerless to help, which is the defense, they're better there. And then the parts where he can help and build, right? It's frustrating, you know, for him probably to have a receiving core that isn't as good. But as the season progresses, he's obviously gotten better at being able to use them, to make the offense better. And last week, of course, he was able to trust a player in Marquez Valdes-Scantling at the end of the game that has not been trustworthy for them for most of the season.
Jimmy G was in the middle of the game. He kind of gets cooking, would put up some great clean pocket stats that day, despite having George Kittle's maybe ticky-tack OPI wiped off for a long catch that probably cost San Fran a field goal try, 10 up at intermission. GQ would then find guys at the intermediate level as the Niners mounted a 20-10 lead with Niners having the ball the fourth quarter. How worried were you in the stands about Jimmy G making that three-score game?
Well, it wasn't even that the Niners offense was moving it all that well, right? It was 10-10 at halftime. You know, they got the three, I think, coming out. Patrick threw two interceptions, right? He threw one to Fred Warner, and that turned into seven. They go into the fourth quarter. They were driving, and the ball goes off Tyreek Hill's hands. Tre'Davious Moore got an their nickel. Their dime safety gets a pick in the red zone. The Chiefs kept getting stops, right? They kept, you know, and the Niners, for whatever reason, stopped running the football to, you know, in some of those drives. Chris Jones, who up until that point and after that point had not had a postseason sack, batted balls down. Kendall Fuller almost had an interception. You know, I think, you know, Shanahan's career, whether that be in Atlanta, whether that be in San Francisco, has been marred at times with clamming up in big games. And his quarterback, you know, obviously did the same. Now, when they were able to get the final, you know, the Wasp play, I was in that end zone. I saw Pat. It was one of the most impressive plays I've seen. When he made that throw and they got the touchdown to Travis, you know, the first thing came to my head, I was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to get a stop. I'm hoping they go get a field goal, right? And Chiefs can come down and score seven, get the extra point, win by one. They get an actual real-life stop. They're able to drive down almost to the point where they gave San Francisco too much time, get the quick completion to Kendrick Bourne, you know, they're to midfield. And in a weird way, they obviously had to throw to Emmanuel Sanders. I think like a touchdown on that play probably would have been a decent outcome for the Chiefs because they get the ball back with a chance to tie with a field goal. Instead, that goes incomplete. And then the fourth down, inexplicably, the Niners don't send any short players out in the pattern. They run four players deep. And so Frank Clark's able to get there in a sack after 4.5 seconds. And that's not on Jimmy G. That's not on offensive line. That's on Kyle for not calling a play that has an outlet pass. And, you know, so that ends up being the game. And then, you know, the Chiefs just needed a first down or two. And Damian Williams, you know, to his credit, or, you know, at the end of the season, it doesn't really matter. You'd like the only words that came out of my mouth in the stands of that game were get down when Damian got loose on that one. Everybody that bet the Chiefs team total over loved the fact that he scored, of course. And anybody who my co-host and at the time and my good friend George, he had Niners teased with under. The Niners teaser died on that play, and of course that was a big loss for him. But it, you know, that at the end there was sort of, you know, it snowballed, right? And it snowballed on Kyle Shanahan the way that it did for him in the Atlanta. But yeah, that was a big question mark for me. And I wouldn't have a similar worry now for them getting those stops as I did back then. I was very surprised that they were able to get those stops. And I think in many ways, it was the 49ers offense that stopped themselves rather than the other way around.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think you might have recommended back then the Patrick Mahomes MVP as a sharper line than the Chiefs money line. So if you had Mahomes MVP, maybe you're slightly worried when Damian Williams runs in that last one. You're like, oh no, please don't lose the plot voters. And then, Garoppolo has a chance to put Niners up 27-24, has Emmanuel Sanders deep. Terrell Suggs has beaten McGlinchey and is just about home, maybe throws it off a little bit. Not in the lap like Chris Jones had a Bills offensive lineman with Josh Allen. But it seems like both those situations, about 90 seconds left, Chiefs are more concerned with the sticks than giving up the deep score. Do you think that's something by design there, that they're saying, you're either going to beat us now or we're going to beat you now? You're not going to beat us with under 30 seconds left on defense.
Yeah, I think that's a Steve Spagnuolo staple, right? And I think that, that's done them really well, obviously, in that game. It's done them poorly. I think about Cincinnati week 17 of 2021, where, they had third and forever and they ran an all out blitz and they had Charvarius Ward one-on-one with Jamar Chase and he caught the ball at the 11 and the Bengals were able to bleed the clock and kick a game winning field goal. And they lost, right? Because they were unwilling, to sort of like play to the sticks, right? They were playing the end zone, right? Or they're playing the sticks, right? They were not playing the end zone. And, now the Chiefs, offense is maybe not quite as good. I don't know if they necessarily play as aggressively in a situation that similar, right? Where you're thinking about now the Niners defense is nowhere near as good as it was back in 2019. So maybe the calculus is abruptly the same where, you give up a score, you trust the best player in all of football to come back and answer in quick form. But it's a good question. I that's a really good observation where, maybe you don't play this. Maybe you play the line of scrimmage and not necessarily the sticks as much because you're okay with giving up a touchdown as long as you have enough time to win. Where a lot of teams, they get bled out in plays like that. And, you saw the Buffalo game where, the Bills were in a weird position where they could have, bled the clock, scored a game winning touchdown without much time left for the Chiefs to do anything. And fortunately for Kansas City, they were able to get a real actual stop and force a missed kick because, a lot of times teams get stuck defensively without much power, right? Without the ball, all you have is your timeouts. And a lot of times, good on Andy Reid, he's been much better with his timeouts and his challenges. But a lot of times teams don't really get that. You should be aggressive in those situations when you have a great offense that can answer.
Joe Buck sets the table. This is the stadium where Joe Montana found John Taylor in Super Bowl 23 to beat the Cincinnati Bengals 20-16 with the game hanging in the balance. And now it's not Montana, it's Jimmy Garoppolo. More confidence in the Chiefs defense, but do you feel like Brock Purdy, it makes this a significantly better offense than Jimmy had at that time?
I think that this offense is better because of the of how good McCaffrey is relative to, like, you know, Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman. I think the offensive line back then was better, which makes this that team a little bit more scary. I think the offensive line for the 49ers right now is Trent Williams and a bunch of players who are maybe not great. You know, you don't have Laken Tomlinson anymore. You don't have Mark McGlinchey anymore. It's not as great, you know, which I think makes Purdy's accomplishments more impressive than Garoppolo's accomplishments, even after adjusting for things. Ayuk is a better player than Kendrick Bourne was. Kittle's probably not as good as he was in 19, but Samuel's more refined, I think. But the running back position's better. They're not as scary to me because I don't think the Chiefs' defense is anywhere near at the whims of the opponents as they were before.
KC with back-to-back touchdowns. The 2019 playoffs, you almost expected that when they were down after what they did against the Texans and Titans rallying. The go-ahead drive features Mahomes diming it to Sammy Watkins after San Fran rotates post-snap to the side with Kelce and Hill. Then the touchdown is a fake to Tyreek going one way, Damian Williams the other way on a pass out of the backfield. Kelce blocking Richard Sherman into the safety's path. Where does this finish rank in your pantheon of dishes from Chef Andy?
I mean, he was cooking. The Watkins play, obviously, that's what they signed him for. Watkins, a very similar redemption arc to MVS, probably a little bit more pronounced. The big touchdown against the Titans the week before, and then the 6 for 90 in that Super Bowl. And then you have the really great play by, I mean, this offense has never been better, including last year, than when running backs make plays out of the backfield. And Damian Williams was so good there. It was one of the better drives of the read era. And you also had the great move by Mahomes in the pocket to avoid pressure, to get a ball over to Kelce early in that drive as well, to get them out of the shadow of where they were. So a great drive by Andy, you know, only surpassed really by basically the whole second half that he had against the Eagles, which was, given Mahomes' injury status, one of the best halves I've ever seen a coach call plays with last season.
Chiefs win this 31-20. The markets rate the Chiefs as the Super Bowl favorite and San Fran as the NFC fave the following season. Neither of those happened. Kansas City is now going for a third title in this Reed Mahomes partnership, and San Fran has three straight NFC title game appearances. We covered some of the roster turnover. In remaining contenders, what theories about these teams over the years proved correct, and which assumptions eventually showed their flaws?
With San Fran, it's really, you know, in 2019, they saw a quarterback come from behind, double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter, and win a football game. And, you know, we've all seen the comeback stats for Shanahan. We've all seen him exercise some of those demons with Brock Purdy this postseason. But, you know, you have that season. You have the pandemic year where they struggled because of Garoppolo's injury. I think they went into the draft in 2021 dead set on getting a Patrick Mahomes. And ultimately, that didn't work. And I think one of the narratives that they have shown is that isn't the end of the world, right? No one gets fired if you could still build a team full of great players. And they've done that. And so they've broken a lot of the narratives about what it is like to build a team, a real team in the NFL. I think Kansas City, you know, obviously has shown what it is to mature, right? Like, the Niners make it every Super Bowl since 2017 and every Super Bowl since one, other than one, since 2012, has included a team built around a quarterback making rookie deal money. The Chiefs were that team in 2019 and 2020. Now, the Chiefs are the only team in the salary cap era and the only team, you know, in these mega deal era to mature enough to win the Super Bowl, given those restraints. When you had Patrick making that much, you know, being that big of a surplus, you can make mistakes on Sammy Watkins. You can make mistakes on, Frank Clark. And they weren't, you know, pure mistakes. The bar was just lower for those guys. Once you got to the Bengals loss in the 2021 AFC title game, now you had to sell off some pieces and build from the draft. And now this team is kind of like, when you look at Brett Beach, it's not just Patrick. They've like cooked with gas in every single draft that they've had for 3 years now. And they've kind of showed the blueprint on the other side, right? The Niners kind of have the easy blueprint where you have a cheap quarterback and you can supplement around him. The Chiefs have the hard one where you have a great quarterback making a lot of money and you have to supplement around him. Both of these teams kind of build the team the two different ways to win a Super Bowl. The one is tried and true, which is young quarterback on a rookie deal. The other one has only been done by the Chiefs and the Patriots paying, Tom Brady less than market rates. And that, and those are the two ways to win. And I think it's cool that they're facing off, next week in an emblematic sort of expression of what wins football games in the NFL.
Before that 2019 title, the Chiefs hadn't won a championship in your lifetime. A string of upset losses. We've done an episode on the 95 Chiefs losing at home as a one seed. They ended up doing it a few more times. How was it that night for you? And how's fandom for you changed post monkey off the back?
Oh, I mean, it was fun. You ride back. And there's a great story in the last episode of the PFF Forecast with me and George where George's phone dies and I can't get an Uber. So I run across and get a traditional cab and, and we're sitting there and George is steaming because his favorite team lost and I'm beaming because my favorite team wins. And, it's a lot of fun. And it's, I know people in the Chiefs building now and pretty good friends with a few of them. And it's so much fun to see their success and, what they've built individually for themselves and collectively as a group. And it is a lot of fun to watch them mature in their professional lives. And so, it's different. I watch the Chiefs championship games now, like I'm pretty stoic. When MVS caught the ball, I lost my shit. I'm going to be honest with you. I did. But it's not the same anymore. Right. Cause it's just kind of the expected thing. Now you're more relieved. I watch regular season games differently now because none of them really matter all that much. Right. I have some, I find different teams. I found Detroit early. I was on Detroit early. And now, I kind of enjoy their run. And, I was sad when they lost, last week to San Francisco. It's different, right? I'll obviously be really happy if the Chiefs win. But at the same time, I have friends who work for the Ravens. And I would have been happy for them had they won the other day. So it's a different thing now, right? Once you have a few in your fandom that you can look back on fondly. And even if they lose, right? There's people I know that work for the Niners that I'll be happy for when they win, win or if they win the Super Bowl. And so it's just different now, but it still doesn't mean it's not fun. And I can't, there are some teams that are easier to cover Super Bowl week. And obviously when you're going around, you're interviewing with Jim Rome and Doug Gottlieb and, Scotty Farrell, and you're talking about your favorite team. It just comes to you so much more easily. And so it's a much easier experience and more enjoyable experience covering your favorite team on Radio Row. So that's of course a positive experience for me.
This has been another episode of Remember That Game. Please rate, review, subscribe, and check out more episodes.